This is Reverend John Lukumsky. I don't know why I called myself Reverend.
Well, it's really Jolly John, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, I love
Thank
your
you.
Smile and your exuberance.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome.
We actually have an old buddy of mine sitting in with us today.
Old?
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
One of my younger buddies. Well, you're older than I am, Tom. You were acknowledging that.
Yeah, but you're
that.
Old.
I know, so that makes you really old. Don't
Ancient?
You understand that?
Okay.
Not quite ancient. Yes, we have Reverend Tom Hendricks with us. Oh, by the way, I should announce what we're doing here. This is...
Yeah, what are we doing here? That's good. Let's clarify this right away.
This is Thy Strong Word, but this is a special episode of Thy Strong Word, and I don't want to put the pressure on our listeners, but this is the Ask the Pastor episode of Thy Strong Word, so if you don't ask
well,
any questions...
Minute. That means we have to have pastors here.
No, that's okay, because we have your wife, Sally.
That's what I was thinking, too. That's right.
So it's actually Ask the Pastor's Wife.
Yes.
That's the episode. Sally, by the way, say hi.
Okay.
So let me get some numbers here, because honestly, this is the show where we interact with you. Otherwise, Tom and I are just going to talk about how the Cardinals are doing this year.
Well, who cares how the Cardinals are doing? I want to know how the Rangers are doing.
That's right. Tom, by the way, if you don't know, is from Texas, but we don't hold that against him. the local number is 1-314-821-0850. So that's 821-0850. And all across North America. Did you know that, Tom?
All across
North America.
How far is that, by the way?
I have no idea.
Have you bicycled across North America?
No, I haven't. My old partner, Paul Clayton, bicycled half the way across America.
Well, if you go half the way across North America, then to get all the way across is twice half the way.
See, this is why you need to call in, people. Otherwise, this is as good as it's going to get. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And indeed, if you want to just email us, we love to get email. And that's super simple, because it's kfuo@kfuo.org. So we look forward to your questions and your comments. And one final thing, we need to give acknowledgement to the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHFmissions.org, if you want to check it out on the internet. And Tom, you know about Lutheran Heritage Foundation?
Oh, very much. In fact, my wife is a conversation partner with some Japanese ladies in our community.
Yeah.
And they've expressed an interest in knowing more about Christianity. And so we're going to be talking with Lutheran Heritage about perhaps getting a Japanese Bible.
Oh, see, that would
now,
be
Now, we
exciting.
Know that they have Japanese catechisms. We've already done that.
Yeah,
but we also need a Japanese Bible.
Well, I was going to say that's what's neat about it. They take these wonderful spiritual Christian books and they write them into the languages that they're Hmong. They've got a big Hmong translation they're working on now. Ethiopia, which I think is remarkable. Who cares about Ethiopia? But
well,
no, they're.
I understand now. This I don't know if this is rumor or not. Maybe you can dispel the rumor or verify the validate. We were talking about validation and legitimacy a while ago.
Did you get your parking
hallway?
Validated? By the way,
I don't know if it's a legitimate parking place. So, I understand there's a rumor that they're trying to do some translating into Texanese.
There are some languages that are just too hard to translate.
You think so?
I'm afraid so, yeah.
But
I don't think they'll ever be able to get it.
Do you realize that the Apostle Paul was the original Texan?
Sally, help us out here, please.
No.
There is no help.
I'll bite.
Okay, good, okay. When he pronounced his benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with y'all, he said. So,
be with y'all.
Y'all. Y-A-H-L. Y'all.
Okay. So thank you, Tom.
That's my addition to today's segment Ask the Pastor.
All right.
You asked, I told.
Sally, what is it like living with a pastor, particularly with Tom? Where are you guys at? We didn't even talk about that. Where are you at?
We're in Pearville. Perryville. Perry County.
That's the Texas accent.
Well, that's how it kind of is said down there. Perry County, the manger of the Missouri Senate.
Yep.
In fact, if you hear my promo on issues, etc., you'll hear me refer to it as the manger of the Missouri Senate.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course, we know the Missouri Senate was actually incorporated in Chicago, Illinois, which I don't know how that happened, Chicago. But it was all down in Perry County where the immigrants first landed, stepped foot on
holy soil. That's right.
And have you ever been down there, John?
I've been down there. I go down to like Frona and all of those communities down
there. Have you ever been
down
to Wittenberg? Right on the river.
I don't think I've been to Wittenberg.
Down there.
I thought that was in Germany. They moved it over here, did they?
Well, it's a smaller version of
it. Oh, okay.
No, like a
mini Wittenberg.
No, like a Christian is a smaller version of Christ.
Oh, okay.
You know, so this our baptism. We got to get something in here. You know,
that's right. Start making something to make it work.
But down there, the Mississippi River has a little branch that comes in off of it, which is where they came in. And then they stepped foot on Firma Grounda. Terra firma or some
terra
such
firma.
Thing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, thanks, Sally.
And there is a rock there now with a plaque on it.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Where they actually landed?
Yes. It's the Plymouth Rock of Perry County.
Perry County.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat. No, I'm going to put that on my agenda this summer make a trip.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you come down there and you want to bring your wife, my wife and I have a bed and breakfast basement.
Is that
place
right?
For guests, yeah. It's minus the breakfast, but, you know, we still... but it does have hot
it's
and cold...
It's a cubby hole, isn't it?
It does have hot and cold running water.
It does, okay.
Yes, and a private turlet.
Is that
right? So you're welcome to hibernate there for up to 3 days.
Is that right?
You know, friends, fish, and family after 3 days start stinking.
Start to smell, that's right.
So you've got 3 days if you want them. And Well, you don't need us to take you down to Wittenberg. I mean, you can find your own way down there, but we'd be happy to do that.
Uh-oh, yeah. Wait, something hot is coming in.
All right, okay.
All right, so thank you, James. Oh, let me see. It says, last night after Bible study, I embarked on the less traveled narrow road of exclusiveness that was wide enough to be inclusive of my honest inquiries. Okay.
Ooh, I like this.
I wanted to think with common sense and be able to reverse it in order to find the fun and the fundamentals hidden within my faith understanding. We want to thank James for plugging my Saturday show, Wrestling with the Basics. That's our theme.
You know, I love the commercials that you and your sidekick,
Matt Clark,
especially the one that's no longer airing now because y'all did an update.
Yes.
But when y'all were fighting each other, it's Wrestling with the Basics. It's not physical wrestling. Yeah.
That's right.
I love
We actually don't let oil up or anything like that on the show for people to think.
But I loved watching it.
Did you? I know. Okay, here's the three questions from James.
Number one,
are there principles of community building found within the spiritual exposition of the scriptures that I can be directed to? Okay,
number two.
What is the distinction between ego strengthening and spiritual nurturing?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
Okay.
Are these two states really synonymous from a Christian psychological perspective?
Ooh.
And last but not least, according to M. Scott Peck, evil is projected from one individual to another. When that individual attacks other individuals rather than facing the actuality of their own failures, sin, and social circumstances, evil is manifested. And then finally, he has a reference to Proverbs 22 and 24 through 25. So it looks like he says, because of the lack of mental health first aid and salvation reassurance for many seekers in my social and spiritual communities, I approach these lively engagements with my eyes wide open. So he's looking for what kind of resources I think can be of helpful to people in terms of our psychological and our emotional condition. So you want to take any one of those three questions?
Well, you know, I think before we do that, and it certainly does segue into it, perhaps we could begin with a word of prayer.
You know what? Thank you. That's right. That's actually what's supposed to be my job, to tell you to pray. Remember, I'm the host now. I'm not the guest.
Oh, I thought I was the host.
No. I'm the host.
Wait a minute. When Jenny contacted me,
said, is that right?
Pastor Hendrick, we want you to come and host this day, and your guest is going to be Pastor Lukumsky.
Why that, Jenny? I tell you what, that's the reason she got us in here, telling us we were going to be the host.
Oh, she told you that?
That's right. She told me, too, that I was supposed to be the host.
And I was going to be the guest.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's lay it on Sally. Let's let her be the host.
That's right, Sally. You want to be the host?
A hostess.
The hostess.
Yes, that's what I've been thinking.
Okay. So, Tom, but thank you for. Would you like to begin with prayer?
Because, please,
yeah,
let's do some.
Nothing good comes without the aid of God.
And by the way,
Spirit.
If my prayer lacks something, you just jump right in and fill it out.
And you can say the amen then, Sal.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Hopefully, it'll be a validated, legitimate prayer.
There you go.
Okay. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, it's good, right, and salutary to enjoy time together with friends, with fellow Christians, and certainly with you. As we continue this discussion today, bless us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom, insight, and ability to address the questions and issues that might come before us in a way that brings glory and honor to you and certainly communicates Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to all the world. Heavenly Father, continue to be with us. Keep us in your care. Guide, direct, guard, and protect us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
So what do you think about this? Are there principles of community building found in the Scriptures?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, the very basic one is baptism.
Okay.
Right away, we've got the groundwork for community building. Community building with God himself.
Yep.
He's the one who's doing it, by the way. You know, we're not doing the work in baptism. He comes to us. He adopts us as his own, establishing community right away, relationship. What better relationship can there be than to be adopted by the Almighty God and Father of all creation? And then he preserves that relationship with himself. And we're going to get that's the vertical. We're going to get to the horizontal in a minute. Then he preserves that through word and sacrament. Basic elements, simple stuff. You know, we don't need to get complicated with all of this. And what we do then as fellow Christians is to bind together in community. We call them congregations, parishes, local gatherings where two or three are gathered together in my name. Jesus said, what? Go ahead, take it. There am I in the midst of
you.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, me.
That's,
and you.
Yeah, all of us.
The
That's
ones
right.
who are there, right?
That's right, yeah.
So, what was the question?
Spiritual exposition of the Scriptures for community building.
Yes. Now, as far as I'm not good at book, chapter, verse.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to rely on you for that part. Okay?
Sally, don't look at me, Tom. You're the one with the computer open. You can search
so
all this stuff.
What do I plug in here? Community? Let's see, by the way, that's great. Let's see what comes up if I plug in community. Go ahead and take it away, John, while I'm looking this up.
Well, no, I just wanted to say I really appreciate, because I think when the world hears community building, they think of it as something that we have to do. And I really appreciate your fact. No, community, true community is something that God establishes.
Exactly.
And then we work off of that. We don't have to do it to build the community. Like you said, the word and the sacrament, particularly baptism, has already established the community. We just work on that foundation that Christ has provided.
Well, and the foundation that he has provided actually is going to take us all the way back to the beginning.
Okay.
Everything
what do you
has,
mean by that?
Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
All right.
And he, not only did he create the heavens and the earth, but all that dwells within them, including people.
Yes.
People. And, boy, now this is going to get us into a good topic, okay? Not only did he just create people, but he instituted something known as marriage.
Yes.
One man, one woman, for a lifelong commitment, community with each other. The basic community is the family community. God established it back at the beginning. He hallowed it, sanctified it, blessed it, okay?
Yep.
And out of that community then grows the rest of the relationship, which we see what happened that with sin, you know, when good old Eve, let's blame it on the women right now, okay?
Sally's sitting right next to me, so I'm not so sure I want to do that. Yeah, it's safe for you because you're at least two or three seats over, but she could whack me at any moment.
But pretty soon we're going to be sitting in the vehicle together.
That's true.
You know, so
you have the greater danger.
I'm going to take her out to lunch, though.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that'll help pacify
Sally's
things.
Shaking her head. You will definitely be taking out to someplace nice for lunch.
Oh, any McDonald's? Arby's?
No, that's not going to come. So anyway, all right, so Christ establishes the basic element of community.
Yeah, God created the perfect relationship, but mankind chose with true free will. No, we don't have free will today, John. You know that. We know that. A lot of people mistakenly think we still have free will. Well, I can decide which socks to wear in the morning.
Sally, we should start choosing his socks more. But anyway, go ahead.
You know what? I've got another pair just like these. But in damaging what God created, the perfect communal relationship between man, woman, and others, something had to happen to rescue the mess that we made of it. And again, God had to do it. We couldn't do it. In fact, we didn't want to do it, quite frankly. Mankind wallows in his sin and loves it, like pigs wallowing in mud. Can you relate to that, John? Have you ever wallowed in mud?
No, I haven't, Tom.
Oh, you've never taken a mud bath?
No, I've never done that.
Well, have you ever gone to a spa?
No, I've never gone to a spa either.
John, where have you been all your life? 62 years young?
I'm just a poor Southern Illinois boy. We don't know anything about spas. Well, we do know about pigs wallowing the mud, though. I've never joined them, however. But
Okay. Yeah. So then God got into the picture once again and cleaned the mud off of us through Jesus Christ, sent his only begotten. Oh, I love Trinity, Holy Trinity Sunday coming up this weekend.
That's
right. And I'm preaching on the gospel reading this weekend, John 3:16-7. Yeah. And you know, I finished my sermon yesterday already.
Oh, good.
You see, I work ahead a little bit.
I usually do that too. Okay.
So are you finished for this weekend?
I'm pretty well,
No, not pretty well, but are you?
Well, no, because I always have to polish it on Saturday.
Well, that's what I do now. Yeah. So I discovered I didn't realize how prevalent the Trinity is in John 3:16.
Yeah.
My goodness, it's all right there, you know? So not only does John 3:16 expose the Trinity to us, but it exposes the fullness of God's mercy and grace to mankind.
Yep.
The willingness to send and sacrifice his only son to rescue us pigs wallowing in this mud, which you
Sally,
gotta
present company excluded. I'll let Tom speak for himself there. But I understand what you're saying, Tom.
Yeah, so to legitimize this a little bit, validate it.
Yeah, you know what? It's neat that you bring up that John chapter 3 for Trinity Sunday and what you just said about showing the love of God, because I'm thinking there's better passages to prove the Trinity than John chapter 3 and the business. But that's the point. We don't want to prove the Trinity. We want to teach people about a God who so loved the world. And that's what the Trinity is about.
Yeah.
It's about this God who like you say, would be willing to die for us, who is the Spirit that gives us faith, and of course the Father who loves the whole world. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing, real quick, too, that I was thinking.
This is your show.
No, I'm the host. You're the guest. So, it's your show. But I like this emphasis you had about the community being formed, because then we don't get to pick and choose who's part of the community, do we? Which is what we like to do when we do community.
Well, of course.
We have to. Everyone's part of that community by benefit of God's washing the mud off of us, as you said.
Yeah, but
even the people we don't like.
Well, I think we ought to advise God on this, quite frankly. I think we ought to set him straight.
I do often.
I think he ought to listen to us and realize that we know a better way of community
building. Community. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What? Is there a problem with that?
We'll make it on the basis of who we like and who we don't like.
Exactly right. Yeah, who is similar to me. And
Better. Yes.
By the way, the first prerequisite would be native-born Texan.
Were you born in Texas, Sally?
No, she was not.
Okay.
Let me say that. Chicago. Look, where the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was born.
That's right.
Wow. What a pedigree. So now, what are we going to do with this community? And there's the real question.
Yes, okay.
God has fixed it for us.
Right.
What are we going to do with it? And that, John, to bring some seriousness into this otherwise frivolity that we're going on, really saddens my heart deeply. When we see, even within Christian congregations, the discord, the contention, the competition going on, it's sad enough that Christianity is divided into all sorts of segments, sects, not S-E-X, S-E-C-T-S, okay, just to clarify that.
And it is a reality, but we're not happy about that
reality. Exactly. And there's a good reason for it, by the way. I mean, Is that my phone?
No, it's me. Just keep on talking, Tom. I forgot to shut it off.
You know what? At my Rotary meetings, if somebody's phone, pager, or a watch goes off, they get fined.
Okay. How much are they fined, Tom?
$5.
Okay. I'll leave $5 here on the table when we leave.
So the whole situation now is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can't do it other than with Him, we need to do a better job of preserving and building community according to the way God establishes. Yeah. See, and that's where the problem comes in. Well, I know I was joking around a while ago, but there's a lot of seriousness to my joking around. We think we know better. And we have standards by which we desire to repair what God messed up. But they're standards that are influenced by Satan. And we need to be more conscientious in prayer, studying the scriptures, participating together in the blessed sacrament of Holy Communion with those with whom we share common fellowship, etc., and build up their communal relationships rather than constantly be trying to tear them down. That's the heaviness of my heart, John.
And wouldn't you agree, Tom, the whole problem is just what you said, that we're trying to do it by our work and effort rather than relying upon the foundation of the forgiveness of sins we have in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. What a great thing you just introduced there. Confession and absolution. How important those elements are. That's why we start every divine service off with cleansing.
There you go.
We wash the mud off of us at the very beginning.
We come unified in our sinfulness, and we receive unified in the forgiveness of sins.
Absolutely.
We have a caller, Linda from Farmington.
Wonderful.
How are you doing today, Linda?
Good morning. I am better than I deserve. Jesus took what I deserve, right?
Don't we all? Aren't we all in that situation, Linda? What's your comment or question?
Well, first of all, I want to say hi to both of you pastors and hi to Sister Hendrick. And, what you're talking about, the problem with us is that our view of who God really is has been distorted from the fall of Adam. It's been distorted by this trick of the devil who says you should be God.
In the Godhead,
what you were talking about, there is no division, no jealousy, no resentment, no division. There's nobody, in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They were in beautiful communion. And this is the way God created us to be, to work in communion, no jealousy, no rebellion and
contention. When you strive with one another, when two teams play each other, they're contending.
Right.
Who's the better?
Yep.
Yeah. Who among us is the greatest?
Yeah.
I want to be God, and I want to be your boss, and that is all by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we're brought into that perfect family of God, and that is all transformed, and how can I serve you the best? What can I do to help you?
Linda, you know what you're reflecting? You're reflecting Jesus Christ, who said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve." And by the way, to give my life as a ransom for many.
And that's who God is.
Yep.
And Satan distorted that to Adam, like, God is holding out on you, and he does that continuously with us. And the only way, like you were saying, the only way that we can overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and to remember Jesus Christ. God loves us through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is constantly telling us that. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to be anything. Just belong to him and his family. And that's how community is. That's how families are. You know that in your own family. You love Sister Hendrick and Brother Lekomsky, you love your wife is your own flesh and blood.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me I have to love Brother Lekomsky?
No, I'm saying you guys love your wife.
Oh, my wife. Okay.
Your own body.
Why
wouldn't she love you and trust you for decisions and everything?
By the way, Brother Lekomsky and I were classmates at the seminary.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Well, I don't know.
That may be some question there, Linda.
You guys had me laughing this morning, so I thank you for that.
Laughter is good for the soul and good for the body.
And thank you for your comment and question, Linda. That affirmation that where community comes from is from the forgiveness. And we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we want to further explore this question about ego strengthening and spiritual nurturing. Are those the same things? Or is there a difference there? This is Thy Strong Word.
Have you ever considered serving as a military chaplain? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking pastors to serve the men and women of the armed forces. If you are up to this challenging but exciting mission opportunity to serve as a military chaplain, contact me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at 314-996-1337, 314-996-1337, or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
What does this mean? To many Lutherans in America, this one simple question brings to mind the days of confirmation classes, memorizing Luther's small catechism with the pastor. But did you know that the Holy Spirit continues to call thousands of people all around the world to faith in Him through this powerful little book translated into the languages of the people? Visit lhfmissions.org to learn how you can help the Lutheran Heritage Foundation deliver this book of the faith to new Christians worldwide.
This is, what is this? Thy Strong Word. I'm sorry. I do too many things here. I can't remember what I'm doing.
You're just a busy man, aren't you?
I am a busy man.
But you've been at the same place for 37 years?
For 37 years.
So how can you be busy?
I don't know. No one else wanted me. That's why
is that
I ended
it?
Up there. Yeah. 314-821-0850. We love to hear your phone calls. 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or just email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. And again, thanks to Lutheran Heritage Foundation for making this possible. I don't know if they realized we had Texas people on here, but I'm sure that'll be okay.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, it's the community of God. In the community of God, we even accept people from Texas. That's how tolerant we are.
Now, let me get a little word in here edgewise, because you've been hogging the whole show so far, you know, not to speak of dirty pigs. But when we start talking about community.
Yes.
Well, before we talk about that, you invited them to send in their emails?
Yes.
What? You know, Buzz just brought one in, and I saw you wad it up and throw it in the garbage can. What's with that?
It was actually my wife reminding me to bring
home.
Oh,
is that what it was?
Okay. It was just a list of things I was supposed to pick up at the grocery store.
Okay. Buzz is just great.
Thank you. Yeah, he's got some fantastic Bible
and
passages
one of them
here for
is
us.
The
and now he's leaving again.
Yeah,
okay.
we're on our own.
Yes,
boy,
okay.
Let's see what we can do now. I bet we could really mess that control board up. Yeah. John, leave that alone. John!
Read the Bible passage.
Okay, Galatians 3:28-20. What are you, the host of this?
I am the host.
There is neither Greek, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise.
There you go.
The whole foundation of God's good news, the gospel, is promise. Promises made by God in the Old Testament, promises made by God also in the New Testament, and promises on which we can hang our hats because God has already fulfilled them all in and through Jesus Christ. That's our community. That's why it says here, you're no longer slave nor free, male nor female. Well, yeah, we are. I mean, Sally and I are not unisex. We are male and female.
Exactly.
But it says
here, you're one in Christ.
In Christ. Yeah. And that's where a lot of Bible expositors go wrong. They use this to say, well, see, everybody can do the same thing all the time.
No.
But that's not what it's saying.
That wouldn't be any fun.
I don't know. Maybe it would be.
No, it wouldn't be. Not if everybody was the same.
Well, see, if
wouldn't be Christianity. We're a body. Everybody's different. Yeah,
but now, John, listen to this line of reasoning. If our church body would finally get with it and allow women to be pastors, by the way, I'm joking, everybody, okay, then I could become retired and let my wife do the pastoral work.
There you go.
And let her support me.
Now, the way Sally was talking, she's doing it all now.
Oh, wait a minute.
You're just kind of like the figurehead, and she's actually doing all the work. I don't know. That's something I picked up earlier. Bob, save us here. Are you out there, Bob?
Yes. I'm from DeSoto, but I'm actually in Wisner, Nebraska right now.
Okay.
On vacation.
Oh, well, good for you.
Who would want a vacation in Nebraska?
Well, you see, when you're from Texas, you can go any place because you're in the best place to be from. And
whoa,
then you can go and you can spread that joy around the world.
Did you have a question for us?
Well, actually, I was going to comment, bringing this back to the Genesis book that we're supposedly talking about, that actually, if you examine Joseph, he was a nurturer rather than one who promoted envy. He was one who would not try to get envy. He did that when he was younger. He definitely did. And then he learned that was not the right way to go. And so to me, Joseph is an example of a nurturer, someone who tries to build up, as opposed to one who tries to incite people to envy.
Bob, I think what you're saying is captured very nicely in the word serve, service, servant.
Yeah.
Joseph became a true servant, even to the point of rescuing his family and preserving them so that the bloodline to Jesus Christ was still intact. If all of us would assume that Christ-given role of servanthood, the world would be a lot better. The community would be more preserved. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
And you know what I like about the example of Joseph, Bob, is like you say, that didn't come to him by nature. No. By nature, he was just like all the rest of us. Yeah, everyone's going to be bowing down to me. And in fact, it tickles me, he didn't see that was a problem.
He was naive, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, but that's okay. He realized that, and like you said, that's a really powerful insight, Bob. Then he became a nurturer rather than someone that was fostering envy between people, and what a nurturer he was in terms of taking care of his very brothers who sold him off into slavery. At one
you
point,
meant it to me for
him.
Evil, God meant it to me for good.
Yeah. Yep. And what was really neat about this whole thing was that this allowed Jacob's family to grow into a nation.
And what
I find really interesting about the Exodus, which you're going to go into next, I'm trusting, is that when the Jews left Egypt, others went with them and became.
That's true. Yeah.
Became Jewish, and as a consequence, it wasn't just this descendants of Abraham, it was other people who became kind of like Christians.
They were evangelized in the real meaning of the word. Yep.
Actually, that's exactly what they were doing. And later on, the Jews, we don't want to mess around with those people. But the reality is from the beginning of the nation, they did evangelize.
Yeah, and God adopted them through circumcision, and today God adopts us through baptism. Now, there's an interesting thing here. Circumcision was an act that God gave performed only on the males.
Right.
So then how did the women get into God's kingdom? Through Papa or Hubby?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But today, look what Jesus has done for us today. Going along with this passage, there's no longer male or female.
Yep.
Baptism is for all people, regardless of gender, age, nationality, etc., etc. Yep.
Right.
And it does strike me, Tom and Bob, though, that's the danger, that we would fall back into that Jewish attitude. We've now been made community, but we become an exclusive community, whereas, no, the whole purpose always of the community of God from the very beginning is, I'm going to make you a nation, Abraham, so that all nations might be blessed.
How true. Inclusivity. By the way, Bob, do you have another question before we start rambling here?
I was just going to add that later on, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh.
Right.
And he was a righteous person who was convinced that he couldn't evangelize. He did evangelize, and as a consequence, Nineveh didn't get destroyed, but he didn't want to go.
And the reason he didn't want to go is even more than that. He didn't think he could evangelize. He didn't want those. He didn't think those people deserved to be evangelized.
No, we know those people.
Those are dirty pigs. They've wallowed in the mud too much. You know.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your call and comment. By the way, just to clarify things, we are officially done with the Book of Genesis. That's why we're doing Ask the Pastor. This is the pattern of things on Thy Strong Word. We do a book of the Bible, then we take a break to do Ask the Pastor.
A segue,
exactly. Yeah. Which you've been blessed with the fact that you got Tom Hendrick here. Couldn't have a better pastor to ask. His wife's here, by the way.
There
if
we
you
go.
Ask,
that's what we've
ask
got
the
here.
Wife. The
We're
pastor's
ask
wife
the
is
pastor's
here.
Wife.
And starting tomorrow, then a new book, Tom. Acts.
Oh no, that's an old
one.
Book. That's been around for a long time.
It's a new book for our.
For the Bible study.
For the Bible study.
Because this is a
Bible study.
Thy Strong Word.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you want to pick up this next question?
Let's go with it.
Ego strengthening and spiritual nurturing. Are those the same thing, or is there a difference between them?
Absolutely not the same thing.
What's the difference?
Excuse me. Ego strengthening is human centered. Me, my centered.
Yes.
What was the other one?
Spiritual nurturing.
Yeah. Is from the outside in. Mm. Ego strengthening is inside in me. We will not want to build community with ego strengthening. It's all about me, the individual. By the way, that's a big problem with our society right now. We're living in this time of postmodern individualism, where we have the concept of I, me, my syndrome. What's that word, Sally, we talked about coming down here? Entitlement. The attitude of people that it's all about me and for me and by me. And, you know, that's juxtaposed to what the spiritual life is all about. God comes into us through word and sacrament. We always come back to word and sacrament, John.
What is it with you and word and sacrament?
Yeah, I don't know. And that's what brings us together. So, no, the two are not this one and the same. They're juxtaposed to each other, I think.
No, I agree with you. And again, that's kind of the whole point. The world wants to constantly focus on us and what's good for us and what makes us happy. And as you've been emphasizing over these last few minutes, the gospel wants to focus on what God has done for us in terms of serving us, and then what we do in terms of serving others. We love as he first loved us.
Bingo. Yeah. Now you've touched a little bit.
Did you see that, Sally? Should I be scared? Okay.
How often do we hear people say, "I love God"?
Yes.
And that's important. I love God. Which, by the way, that's not bad necessarily.
No, we ought to love God.
But the real importance is God loves me.
In fact, doesn't John say something like that? Not that we love God, but that God first loved us.
Yeah. Now, we take that love and extend it to one another, obviously. But I've seen the bumper stickers, I love God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you do. Happy for you. but let's get one that says God loves me.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And see, you know, I'm thinking that that's the whole problem with this whole ego strengthening thing. If you want to have a strong ego, it actually begins, as you had alluded to earlier, the way we start our church services, by making a confession of our sins that we're not good people. And from that confession, then the truly strong ego builds, because it's the ego that God gives us from his strength and his forgiveness.
Yeah, good.
And then, of course, it's also strengthened by the fact that we love other people, because this is a good thing to do. This
well,
is an
I'm not sure if I love you, John.
The
jury is still out on that, because I remember what you were like in the classroom.
Now, let's not go there, Tom. Oh, by the way, bring up another question. And then finally, so we said, according to M. Scott Peck, do you know who M. Scott Peck is?
I do not know who M. Scott, but Buzz will find out, because he is a great resource.
You know, what I've realized, why Buzz is running back and forth is because you're being the call screener as well as the producer for this
show. Thank you for reminding me. I need to check that phone call that's coming in.
Okay. Very good. Wow. So evil is projected from one individual to another. When that individual attacks other individuals rather than facing the actuality of their own failures, sin and social circumstances, evil is manifested. I think we could buy that.
Oh, absolutely.
We?
You betcha. It's the old blame game.
Yes.
I'm going to blame you or my wife or my children or somebody else for my problems and try to avoid having to own up to them myself.
Well, that's the phrase that caught me, facing the actuality of their own failures, because that's just the opposite of what we want to do as Christians. We want to acknowledge our weakness and our sin, just like Joseph. It wasn't that he was perfect. No, he had some flaws, but it was the acknowledgement of that that helped him then to be changed in terms of how he dealt with other
and
people.
And so take us back then once again. I know this gets dull, dry, and boring, but it's so powerful to the beginning of our divine service.
Yeah.
I, a poor, miserable... what? What? What do you mean I'm a poor, miserable sinner?
I wonder how many people really are paying attention when they
to
say
what
that.
They say. Confess unto thee all my sins, my iniquities. Oh, I'll confess yours and yours and yours.
Well,
but, hey,
them.
I don't have any to confess, you know? Yeah.
And then add the fact that you're going to get both punishment here and eternally as a consequence
what?
Of that.
What's with that?
Yeah.
But thank God we have a gracious and merciful God. And that's still part of the confession, too, that we plead his mercy and grace. And then, John, and here's where it is so exciting and joy-filled to be pastor, to lead the worship service. In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I get to pronounce absolution. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And Jesus said, if you said it here on earth, it's also valid and true.
And it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't.
And that's exactly, by the way, why we can make that confession. We'd be foolish to make that confession, except we know what Jesus has said. We confess our sins. He is just and righteous to forgive our sins. Cheryl from Indianapolis, which is close to Texas, isn't it? No.
Well, it's on the way to Texas.
It's on the way. Everything's on the way to Texas, according to Tom. Cheryl, what's going on? What's your question or comment?
I wanted to comment on James's wonderful question.
Yes, thank you, James.
The second one about ego and faith building and all that, reminded me of dealing with my 2.5-year-old grandson. He gets so much attention just because he's so cute. That's ego building for him, I'm sure. But faith building, it is not. But it reminded me of Colossians 3, the first few verses in Colossians 3, where it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. But the concept of your life being hidden with Christ, that's just the opposite of ego building.
That's great words there. And by the way, I'm not the Greek scholar that John is, so I'm going to depend on John to come forth with the real technical stuff here. But to have our life hidden in Christ is baptism. In baptism, we are baptized into, by the way, the baptism formula we use, we oftentimes talk about being baptized in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We are baptized into. We are grafted into Jesus Christ in our baptism.
Well, he's the vine, we're the branches.
Exactly right. And so we are hidden in Christ through baptism and the sanctified life that flows forth from it. We are little Christ. We are reflections of Him who is the perfect Savior.
And you know, it just occurred to me, Tom, I think that's why we treat other people differently, because we look at them as either people who are also united with Christ or people that Christ wants to have united with Him. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, by the way, we'll get back around to you in a minute, Cheryl. Don't go away, okay? Sally, in her opportunities to converse with Japanese nationals, we have a Japanese plant in our little community of Perryville. They have told, Sally just told me yesterday about a lady saying how she found Americans to be so warm and friendly, so accepting. What a door that opened for Sally to say, yeah, and here's why. Because we're Christian. Mm. Now, we know not everybody is.
No, but it's...
Yeah. And we let, not that we let, but the love of Jesus Christ flows forth naturally. We don't even think about it. Oh, when we get to heaven and God says, hey, here's your list of good things you did, why you deserve to be in heaven. Don't go there, John. Okay? And we're going to say, what? I don't remember doing any of those things. And he's going to say, you're right. That's right. That's why they're good. Because you didn't do them to be good.
That's right. You weren't doing them to be good. Yeah. You're just doing them to love and care for people the way God loves and cares for us.
Yeah. Cheryl, jump back in here. Don't let John keep you out.
Yeah. Any other thought or comment, Cheryl?
I was just thinking about the concept of being hidden in Christ and how different that is from the world where, well, we talk about coming out with your sexual preference or whatever. And well, it's just the opposite. It's the life in Christ is just...
Cheryl, you've reminded me of another term just in what you said there, and thank you. You've inspired me, by the way. To be hidden in Christ is also to submit to Christ and submit to His way of things as they should be. And you hit on one, the big topic right now in our culture and society, same-sex issues, you know. We just talked about that in our Board of Elders meeting last night and had the impact that it has potential of having on the Christian churches and us doing marriages. By the way, the associate pastor that I work with, notice I work with him down at Perryville, he reminded us in the meeting last night that maybe it's a good thing that we get out of the marrying business.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know?
I was thinking the same thing. Let the state issue the marriage license, and we'll have a celebration.
Absolutely. We will
of
solemnize
the union
it.
That God
you
has brought
you.
Together.
You betcha. Do you realize, John, and others, that by us signing that marriage document, we are becoming agents of the state? We're mixing left and right hand.
I know this much, that the state makes me pay for my own stamp when I send it in to them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, look, if I'm an agent of the state, you should at least pay for the postage.
Absolutely,
No.
Yeah, so Cheryl, you've hit on a very important topic there. To be hidden in Christ is to submit to Christ and His way of doing things, which are holy, right, good, salutary, and all that.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call, Cheryl. And I think it relates to what you had said earlier, referring to that final judgment scene where God talks about, I was hungry and you fed me, and yet our response is, when did we see you and do these things? Because we're hidden in Christ. We weren't doing this to boost our ego, so everyone would say, what wonderful people we are. No, we know we're not wonderful people. We're sinful people. We generally are pretty selfish people, but
well, speak for yourself, John.
Hey, what about it? What about it, Sally? I can talk to him. You have to live with him.
You got it. Right.
You know, talking about the pigs in the mud. Okay. You know, oh, shoot, I did want to ask.
The
road less traveled. Okay.
Duh.
Very good. Thank you.
What did we say about Buzz?
I know, he's on top of this.
We need to put him over here.
We ought to let them know that what it said was that's M. Scott Peck was the author of The Road Less Traveled.
Okay, M. Scott Peck,
As part of that question earlier from James. Not just I'm holding it up for you.
Yeah, I know. So Buzz holds things up. We don't realize. The listener doesn't actually see the things you hold up.
Boy, he has such a good radio voice. Did you hear that?
I know. He's got
mellow.
That's why he does this for a living. He actually gets paid to do this, not like you and me. We just come here to do it for fun.
Wait a minute. Wait. Jenny told me I was getting paid.
Oh, yeah. That's what they tell all of
you. She didn't tell you?
No, Again? Oh. I don't know. I got to talk to Jenny. Which, interestingly, Jenny's on vacation this week, by the way.
Tom. Oh, is she? That's why I didn't Buzz see her, trying to her do bright, smiling things. Face out here.
I did have a question for Cheryl. I'm sorry she hung up because, you know, she was talking about her little two-year-old and how excited they are. I have a grandson I should throw out here who's just 5 months old, and we're going up and visiting him this next week, and we got a text. They were so excited because he rolled over for the first time, and I'm thinking, I roll over all the time, and no one gets excited about me doing that, so I'm not sure what
John,
to do
the next
it.
Time you roll over, call and tell me, and I'll get excited about
okay,
it, okay? I'll exude excitement over the telephone. How's that?
Back to this M. Scott Peck. I don't even know why I bring it up, because I know it's just going to come right back on me, isn't it, Tom? So what about this business about when an individual attacks other individuals? That's a reality, isn't it? And that's
sadly,
the problem. It just gets getting passed down from generation to generation.
Let's go back to the beginning again.
Yes.
What did Adam and Eve do whenever God came? Oh, first of all, they tried to hide
there
from...
there it is.
Who can hide from God?
Yeah.
You know? But God sought them out. Right away, you have grace. Right there. Sought them out, and then he confronted them. What did they do? They started blaming each other. Blaming Satan.
I'm sorry, I got to interview you because it just occurred to me, that's exactly what God did not do. He did not come into the garden and start blaming them. He started asking them questions.
Yeah.
He didn't come in and say, oh, well, I see what you've done. Now you're going to get it.
And then what else did he do? He spoke to them grace.
Yeah.
Gave them the promise. There's that word, promise again, of the Messiah that would come well past their death.
Right.
You know, and he did.
And crushed the head of the one who caused all of this.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I just like that idea that he didn't come, he came asking questions, hoping that they would do just what you've been talking about over and over, that they would do what we do at the beginning of the church service. I'm
confess,
a poor, miserable sinner. Of course,
confess,
that's a point, Tom. They didn't confess, did they? They did exactly what our caller, they started blaming each other. So what's going on with that? How did God tolerate that? The fact that Adam says, well, you know, it was this woman who gave me. And then she said, well, it's this devil, this snake that showed up. We didn't create him. You created him. What's that all about?
He booted him out of the garden. He said, you don't deserve to be here, so get out.
Yeah.
And then he put, and this is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can bring it up real quickly. Maybe you can bring it up. Where God placed the angel.
Oh, sure.
Very interesting. If we go back to the Hebrew, and even it comes out in the English too. I wish I could bring it up real quickly.
Okay,
I've got
it right here.
Okay.
He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life.
Okay. Now go back to whom did he place there?
A cherubim, it says.
Okay, now remember, that's a plural word.
Oh, more than one, yes.
Yeah.
A bunch of cherubs.
And those are baby angels, or sort of. But here's the thing. Our Sunday school lessons and other illustrations always show one angel there.
Yeah.
But in the Hebrew language, the im pluralizes the word. There are a bunch of them that he put there. A whole host of cherubs to guard against getting back in and messing up the perfect
garden. Hold on. Why wouldn't he want them to get back and get to the tree of life, Tom?
Because then they would forever be in their sin.
Oh, okay.
They would forever be in their sin. God is so gracious and merciful. We just don't see it all the time. I'm sure they didn't see it as a good thing.
Probably not. When they got kicked out of the garden.
And she had to get pain and torment and bearing children. And Adam had to work the ground now with thistles and thorns and stuffs and things and mud.
And as a consequence, Sally would have to live with you for her whole life?
No. See, that's the good blessing that she got from being such a wonderful woman.
I was thinking thistles and thorns.
John, whose side are you on anyway?
Like I said, Sally's closer to me than she is to you. But that's such a neat picture because, there's a consequence of sin. We can't get around that. We don't want people to be out there sinning. But I love what you said before. At the same time he's kicking them out, he's also saying, I'm going to provide a savior for you.
Yeah, and you brought in the concept of consequence, and Sally and I talked about that on the way down. forgiveness does not erase temporal consequence.
No, no.
It erases eternal punishment.
And it does mean even in the temporal consequences, there's still a God who loves
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he stands by us and he keeps us in his care even in those tough times.
Thank you, Tom Hendrick. Thank you, Sally, for being here. We've enjoyed being with you for this edition of Thy Strong Word.